بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اجتنبوا كثيرا من الظن إن بعض الظن إثم ولا تجسسوا ولا يغتب بعضكم بعضا صدق الله العظيم. My most respected brothers and elders, our mothers and sisters listening at home over the receiver, once again we find ourselves experiencing load shedding. May Allah remove all these difficulties. It is a time to reflect also on so many people in the world and even in our country where they don't have lights, they don't have electricity on almost a daily basis. Right now in Gaza, we know the condition. So many other war-torn countries. Therefore, we must make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the ni'mat Allah has given us. Instead of complaining, make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes Allah removes, takes away a ni'mat just for a little while, so that we realize that all these bounties are only from Allah. And we should be making shukr of Allah Rabbul Izzat. Then also the lesson is that sometimes our heart experiences load shedding as well. And it becomes dark through sins, spiritual maladies. And therefore we have to generate it with the nur of dhikrullah, tilawat of the Quran, the marifat of Allah, the love of Allah, by sitting in good company, reflecting, pondering over the verses of the Quran, making tadabbur in the Quran, turning away from evil temptations, moving towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making sincere tawbah, istighfar, and making a concerted effort in removing these spiritual maladies that come onto our heart. And if these maladies are not remedied, then as we mentioned 2 weeks ago, the effects of sins, how the entire heart becomes rusted. And then a person finds himself away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, to such an extent that he begins to lose he tends to forget the ugliness and the istiqbah of these sins. He treats those sins as normal and something that is accepted, and it becomes part of his life. And this is very, very dangerous. My respected brothers and elders and our mothers, there are very many maladies, inshallah. We have spoken about these maladies over the past few years. And we will remind ourselves, refresh in our memories, so that we make our islah. The purpose of these majalis, to turn to Allah, to make sincere tawbah, istighfar, to listen attentively, these few words of advice, from Quran and Sunnah, from the books and kitabs of our mashayikh, our kabir, salafi salihin, so that we may implement these things in our life and make tazkiyah of our lives. Make tazkiyah of our hearts. We need to cleanse and purify our hearts. So there are so many maladies like hasad, jealousy, anger, pride, ghibah. Now amongst these maladies which now seem to be increasing is the malady of harboring evil suspicion on people, on our Muslim brothers and sisters. Allah Ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِّنَ الظَّنِّ إِنَّ بَعْضَ الظَّنِّ إِثْمِ. Allah talks about suspicion. So, that suspicion which is not based on concrete evidence, just on flimsy hearsay. You saw something, you did your own calculation, you conjectured something, you made it up, you had no solid grounds, no proof whatsoever, and you based your thoughts, and you pass a judgment, and you began to have an evil suspicion on some person. A man could be innocent. He comes out of a shopping mall, and at that very time, a woman is walking alongside him. He doesn't even know her. It just happens at that time, and you happen to be entering the mall, and now immediately you think, these two are having some relationship. We don't realize the harms of having suspicion. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالظَّنْ فَإِنَّ الظَّنَّ أَكْذَبُ الْحَدِيثِ. The worst lie of the thing that what we talk and we discuss, the worst of lies is when we have suspicion. إِيَّاكُمْ وَالظَّنْ. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, beware of unnecessarily or not unnecessarily of having suspicion of any person. Yes, sometimes a person genuinely has concrete evidence. And that is something else. But even though there are so many matters we delve into or we get embroiled in which do not pertain to us. These are futile matters. Absolutely futile. It does not concern us. Why do we then get embroiled in it? Why do we search for evidence? Our purpose is to harm the next person. We want to give taklif to the person. And what happens then? The ummah becomes in discord. And we have created and we have planted the seeds of discord in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Be concerned with our own matters. Be suspicious of our own nafs. Be suspicious of our own doings. There are so many examples in the seerah or in history that show us that when a person falsely or he had some suspicion on a person, what happens then? Then he begins to probe into the matter. And then he begins to spy on that person who he has suspected unjustly without any genuine concrete evidence, just baseless. So then he begins to spy. And he probes more and more. Now he's wasting his time in a very futile matter. And then he will start making ghibat about that person to others. And then he will carry tales. All this started from having some evil suspicion on a person. The month of Ramadan, in one of the programs I had mentioned, there was an incident mentioned in one of the countries, in the Arab world, the person writes, the sheikh writes, a story. And he says that this person tells him that he was driving his car, and alongside his car is another person whose windows were open, and he had blaring music. Music was loud. And obviously it irritated this person. Music is haram. And how can this person be listening to music? And that too, he's got it full blast. He doesn't care about others. And he looks at him, tries to catch his attention, to tell him to put off the music. And he observes and he sees that this man has got a big beard also. So he tries to alert him, but this man does not understand, or he doesn't see this person trying to catch his attention. He follows him and he comes to a shop. So this man parks, waiting for the man. He sees the man comes out of his car, goes to a cafe, and he thinks to himself that how evil and how sinful this person is. He's got no shame in him, no haya in him. He's got such a big beard, he's got a topi, he's got a kurta. The exact thing we also think. Look at this woman, she got parda. Look at that man, he's got a beard. And he thinks to himself he's going to come out with a packet of cigarettes or something. You see, he comes out with an Islamic magazine. He's even more bewildered. Jumps in his car, switches his car on again. Again, blaring music. And the man looks at him and he's smiling. So he comes out of his car. And this man is furious, he's angry. And he goes up to him and he shouts at him. He tells him, brother, what is wrong with you? How could you be listening to blaring music like this? And the man looks at him and smiles, and then the smile obviously disappears from his face. He can see this person is angry with him. So quickly, he takes out a page and a pencil and he writes there, my dear brother, I am deaf. I cannot hear. What is your problem? When this man sees, Ya Allah, that this man is deaf, he cannot hear. He did not know that the music was on in the car. And then he feels embarrassed for having thought evil of the man. So he writes back, he apologizes, he says, my brother, I'm sorry, but you had blaring music on, and I thought evil of you. Please forgive me. The person then writes, I forgive you, but it's not even my car. I needed a car. I borrowed somebody's car. I was unaware that there was music playing. This is something we all have to ponder and reflect. With social media, things become viral, viral, viral. I've been saying this for so many months or years now. May Allah protect us. What are we enjoying in seeing somebody else becoming a victim of just suspicion? In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a very lengthy incident took place, 50 years after the Hijrah. The Banu Mustariq expedition took place. Rasulullah was alerted to the Banu Mustariq tribe. They are waging a war against the Sahaba. They were going to attack the Sahaba and the Muslims. So immediately they set forth with an army. Nonetheless, on the return, Rasulullah is coming back with the Sahaba to Madinah Munawwara, and they camp just in a place away from Madinah Munawwara. They would rest for a little while, and then afterwards the call be made, now we are leaving, and Sahaba would take their goods and mount the camels and proceed again in the company of Rasulullah. So they set camp at a place, and just as the call was made now that we are leaving, Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha quickly went to relieve herself. But as when she relieved herself and she was returning, she realized that her necklace was broken. And she goes back to look for the pearls of the necklace or the beads of the necklace. And while she is busy searching for that, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they mounted the camels and put all the goods. And they proceeded, and she explains that the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the mothers of the believers, they used to be mounted in a hudaj. A hudaj is a box-like structure, covered with parda, so they could not be seen. And they would sit in that box. The camel was then raised, and then they would move. She says, I was so thin at that time, so thin, that those sahaba who carried that box did not realize I was not sitting inside. And they thought I was in. They mounted it on the camel, and they proceeded. But she was a brave young woman, and she realized, she knew that Rasulullah would reach Madinah Munawwara, and then they'll realize that I'm not there, then someone will come back for me and find me and take me back to Madinah Munawwara. She takes a sheet and she covers herself, and she falls off asleep. Not long after that, one Sahabi by the name of Safwan bin Mu'attal radiallahu ta'ala, and he was deputed by Rasulullah that you must come right in the end. If the Muslims have lost any belongings, then you must just pick it up and bring it. And when he comes, he sees a body, he sees somebody sleeping. And as he goes closer, he realizes this was Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And how did he know this? Because he had seen her before the verses of hijab came down, before the verses of parda had come, and she was young. He had seen her, so he knew this was Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala. The moment he saw her, all he uttered was, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That's all. When she hears the voice of Safwan bin Mu'attal say, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, فَخَمَّرْتُ وَجِّهِ, she immediately covered her face. And she takes qasam in Allah that Safwan bin Mu'attal never uttered a word after that. He was so bashful, he would walk in front. He never came close to her, he never touched her, he never did anything, he never spoke to her. He just made the camel go down, she mounted the camel, and he led the camel in front until they came to Madinah Munawwara. Sahaba had reached there, it was now midday, and at that very moment, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul, the leader of the Munafiqeen, who was always causing harm to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would look for occasions to hurt Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi in different ways. He was an open munafiq. He was the leader of the munafiqeen. And he spots the two of them, and now immediately he has badzan. In Urdu we say badgumani. And he casts suspicion upon them. And immediately he makes things go viral. Like how we sent as forwarded as received, without checking the veracity of the statement of whatever the incident or issue is. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala, an innocent young woman, doesn't know anything what's happening, that now people are talking and accusing her of ma'adallah having an affair with Safwan bin Mu'attal radiallahu ta'ala. Both are absolutely pure and innocent. News goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Nabi of Allah. He was disturbed. He didn't ask Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha at that time anything. It so happened, Allah made it such, that she fell a bit ill at that time. So she's at home, not feeling too good. Rasulullah sallam would come, and she says, I somehow sensed some aloofness on the side of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Obviously, such a great worry on his head. That what if they had a relationship, or what will happen? And he knew that she was innocent, but how is he going to now tell the Sahaba no wahi had come down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It was a very serious matter, a very serious incident in the time of Rasulullah in his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's worried, he's concerned. So in the meantime, she's feeling very sick. And Rasulullah comes there. Not much discussion. How are you feeling? And he goes away. In the meantime, this suspicion has now grown amongst the people in Medina. It's gone viral. And the news has broken. And everybody is talking about it. She is still innocent. Knows nothing whatsoever. Then, we're just giving you the khulasa, the gist of this. Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha, she's not feeling too good. She has a servant by the name of Ummu Mistah, the mother of Mistah radiallahu ta'ala anha. And in those days, the toilets were not in the homes, out of the homes, so they had to come out of the homes and relieve themselves in a place away from the homes. So she's walking and she goes with Ummu Mistah. And as they were returning, Ummu Mistah, the one who was her attendant, she tripped. And as she slipped, she cursed her own son. She says, that is the Mistah. May Mistah be cursed. So then Aisha radiallahu anha alarmed. Why did you curse your own son? Why did you do this? She says, you don't know what my son is saying about you? She said, what is he saying about me? She said, oh, Aisha, don't you know the people are talking and they have accused you of having an affair with Safwan bin Mu'attal radiallahu ta'ala. Oh, when Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala hears this, she is gripped with more fever and she is now so disturbed. She goes to her home. She's not feeling good. She takes permission from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to go to my parents' home. She goes to her parents' home. She goes to her mother. Oh, my mother. And Sayyidina Aisha is crying profusely. Tell me, did you hear anything like this? Her mother says, yes, my daughter. Oh, my mother. So why don't you respond on my behalf? Why don't you tell the people that I'm innocent? Why are they doing such a thing to me? The mother responds. She says, oh, my beloved daughter. A young, pretty, beautiful woman like yourself who's so intelligent, and being the wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at many jealous people. So people will look for occasions and look for things in your life to pick on you. And Sayyidina Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha begins to cry even more. As she is crying, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anha was reading Quran upstairs. He comes down to pacify his daughter. They all are concerned. In the meantime, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked two people, Usama radiallahu ta'ala and Ali radiallahu ta'ala. Tell me, what do you think of my wife, Aisha? Usama immediately says, Ya Rasul, she is pure. She will never do anything wrong like this, never. She is absolutely pure. Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he said, in a similar thing, but he said, Ya Rasul sallam, Allah is not very difficult for you. If you wish, you can get married to somebody else, and you can divorce her. But why don't you find out from Barira, radiallahu ta'ala anha, Barira was also an attendant in the house of Rasulullah SAW. So she would know better. So they go to Barira radiallahu ta'ala. And Rasulullah tells Barira, tell me the truth. Have you seen anything wrong, suspicious in, or wrong in her life? She says, Ya Rasulullah SAW, this girl is so, as we say, naive, so simple. The only wrong thing I have seen in her life, the poor girl, she kneads the dough when she's making roti. She falls off asleep. The goat comes and it consumes the dough and goes away. That's the only thing I can see so-called fault in her. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam then goes to the Sahaba, to the masjid. He calls the Sahaba, radiallahu anhu ajma'in. And then he addresses them that who is going to defend me against Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul and what he is circulating amongst the people. Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu from the Aus tribe. Remember in Medina they had two tribes, Aus and Khazraj. And before Islam they were enemies. So Sa'd bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, the leader of the Aus tribe, he stands up and he says, Ya Rasulullah, if he's this person, whoever is causing a taklif to you, if he's from our tribe, we will put him away. And even if he's from the Khazraj tribe, we will sort him out. When he says this, Sa'd bin Ubadah radiallahu anhu from the Khazraj tribe says, no, you cannot do that. In other words, Khazraj belongs to us. You don't have the authority to do so. In the meantime, Usay bin Hudayr radiallahu anhu, who is the cousin of Sa'd bin Mu'adh, he stands up and he says, by Allah, if somebody is harming Rasulullah, we don't care which tribe he is from, and we will put an end to him. So happens, both tribes now begin to almost break out into a fist fight, and Rasulullah goes quickly and he stops them, and he goes away. In the meantime, Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha is crying and crying and crying and crying. Rasulullah goes to her, tells her, Aisha, he sits near her. Listen, if you made a mistake, make tawbah to Allah. Allah will forgive you. And if you're innocent, Allah will mention, or Allah will exonerate you, and Allah will mention your barat. Oh Aisha, if you made a mistake, then you can confess and admit. Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha looks again at her parents to respond on her behalf. They could not respond on her behalf. It was difficult for them. She says, all I will say is fasabrun jameel. That patience is beautiful. She says, I cried so much that my eyes became dry. I could not cry anymore. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, oh then Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha goes to rest. Rasulullah SAW has hardly left the home of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala when suddenly wahi started coming down to him. And there was a kayfiyat when wahi would come down, that he would just lower his head and he would perspire profusely. 10 verses in the 18 juz of the Quran, 10 verses were then revealed, exonerating Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and explaining her barat and her innocence. And Safwan bin Mu'attar radiallahu ta'ala, they were absolutely pure and they did not do anything whatsoever. So see, Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul just observed these two, and he was a mischief maker. He was a fitna monger. So he immediately put two and two together and he cast an aspersion, and he then said, oh, he became suspicious of them. And he made such things go viral that caused taklif to Rasulullah and his family. Nonetheless, when Rasulullah finished wahi came down, he mentioned to them, O Aisha, that Allah has exonerated you. So immediately her mother stands up. Aisha, go and greet Rasulullah and express your gratitude to him. She says, I will only show my gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who has exonerated me. And then those people who were involved, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ. Those few of them who got involved, Mistah was one of them, then they were lashed 80 lashes. The sabak from this is, that never, never have badgumani of any person. The harm that we do after this leads to so much of destruction, not only to ourselves, of course in the akhirat you'll be punished also, even in dunya you'll be punished, in various ways that Allah Ta'ala wishes. But how much of harm you have caused to society? Imam Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, after mentioning this incident, He says, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, remember, tuhmat was made upon him. They slandered or accused him, the Aziz, the wife of the Aziz of Misr, Zulaykha, when she tried to infatuate him, she tried to lure him, she asked him to fulfill her desires to make zina, and he refused, and he turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then there was a baby in a cradle, وَشَهِدَ شَاهِدٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا. The little baby, such an age that children don't talk at that age, then explain that if you see this kurta torn from the front, then he is guilty. But if it's torn from the back, then she is guilty. And they had seen that the kurta of Sayyidina Yusuf Islam was torn from the back because Zulaikha was chasing him. She tried to grab him from the back and they tore his shirt. So a little baby was used by Allah to exonerate and to mention the barat and innocence of the Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu salam. Maryam alayhi salatu salam, Allah Ta'ala made it such that she fell pregnant without any husband or having any relationship with any person. This was the miraculous birth of Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu salam. Now she's got Isa alayhi salatu salam. And she has given birth to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu salam. How is she ever going to explain to her people that she did not commit any zina? This was a plan of Allah. And Allah had commanded her to remain silent and just point to this child. And Isa alayhi salatu salam was a baby, a little child. He mentioned the barat, innocence of his mother. And he says, Inni Abdullah. I am the servant of Allah. And he mentioned the barat of his mother, Maryam alayhi salatu salam. So for Nabi Yusuf, Allah used a Sabi. And for Maryam, Allah Ta'ala used a Nabi, Isa alayhi salam. But for Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, Allah himself exonerated her. Allah did not use a child, nor a Nabi. Allah exonerated her himself and mentioned 10 verses in the Quran that Aisha radiallahu is absolutely innocent. Respected friends and elders, so many times at home, something is missing, let's be honest. The first thing our thoughts go, and we are suspicious of perhaps the worker. In our offices, something is missing. Hey, we forget sometimes we put in our own pocket. We forget we put in the drawer ourselves. Immediately we think of somebody else who may have come into the office to clean the office. Now, this type of suspicion is harmful to us. This will cause discord in the ummah amongst family members. This is one incident our mashayikh have given. Dr. Sabir Sahib Rahmatullah mentioned this in Peter Marisburg many years ago. And he gave one simple example of one incident. Husband and wife living together. And the sister-in-law, the husband's sister, was also living in the same house. And of course, sometimes, you know how the sister-in-laws, they have some type of the relationship may be not very strong. So, the husband had bought for her earrings, nice brand new earrings, and she was very excited. But after some day, it went missing. Immediately, her mind went and she became suspicious of her sister-in-law. And now, she now tells the husband, see your sister, I'm sure it's her, she's the one. She's very jealous of me. You're looking after her, she's in our home. And now see what she has done. Husband also gets carried away. And he's shouting the poor innocent sister. But after some days, what happens? When they're dusting the bed, they find the earrings went into the pillowcase. And then they find it. Now how embarrassing it is. You blame somebody else. You accuse somebody else. You slandered somebody else. Therefore, respected friends and elders, all these things are all spiritual maladies. We use our zuban in causing taklif to people. We thought evil of people. We made ghibat. We carry tales. Iyakum wadhan. Beware of suspicion. Do not be suspicious of people. Somebody could be absolutely innocent. If you really have to find out, verify it. And then you check the reality of whatever has transpired. But even that too, if it does not concern you, you shouldn't be bothered. If it's not going to harm society, you shouldn't be bothered. May Allah Ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq and hidayat. It may seem small in our lives because it has become part of our nature. We're doing it all the time. We read some article immediately. We say, oh, that person is guilty of that. how often people have been absolutely innocent. And we have seen in the press, in the newspaper. Then they mention a small two-line article to say that the editor the newspaper had made a mistake. And that too nobody will even read it. And the message has gone viral and people have cast an aspersion on a certain person. Imagine the same thing happens to you, how would you feel? If it happens to your mother or your wife, how would you feel? إِيَّاكُمْ مَظَّنْ. Beware of suspicion. It is the worst of lies. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and hidayah to understand, to make amal. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. نِسَى الدُّرُ الشَّرِفُ. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم الله جل جلاله وتعالى شأنه الله 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 Allah, 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 Allahu 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 Allah, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. There are a few other areas that have asked us to come and have some program there. So perhaps next week, maybe some other time also, there are some new areas, new musallas. So programs will take place in other areas as well. So you'll be notified in the WhatsApp message before Thursday next week, wherever the program will be taking place. And everybody is welcome to attend. اللهم لك الحمد كله لك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين ويا ذا القوة المتين ويا راحم المساكين ويا أرحم الراحمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم ارحمكم عافرنا الله forgive us my Allah Allah you are too loving too kind my Allah you are most generous my Allah Allah you are most compassionate my Allah Allah you are most loving my Allah Allah you are kareem rahim my Allah forgive us my Allah help us my Allah guide us my Allah ya Allah we are trying my Allah ya Allah we are trying my Allah Allah, but we fail miserably, my Allah. Allah, we fall down, my Allah. Allah, pick us up again, my Allah. Make us reach you, my Allah. Allah, the journey looks so long to reach you, my Allah. But my Allah, you can make it easy for us, my Allah. You can make it be pleasurable for us, my Allah. Allah, fill our hearts with your love, my Allah. Allah, with your ishq and muhabbat, my Allah. The ishq and muhabbat of Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, cleanse and purify our hearts, my Allah. Allah, we do so many wrongs and evil, my Allah. We commit so many vice, my Allah. We don't even realize, Ya Allah, that they are sins, my Allah. Ya Allah, we begin to enjoy those sins, my Allah. Ya Allah, we can feel the heaviness in our heart, my Allah. Ya Allah, we can feel ourselves becoming distant from you, my Allah. Ya Allah, in the month of Ramadan, we had qurb, we enjoyed. Ya Allah, some closeness, my Allah. Ya Allah, make us enjoy your proximity, my Allah. Ya Allah, make our hearts become soft, my Allah. Ya Allah, shine our hearts again with the dhikr of your dhikr, my Allah. The noor of your marifat, my Allah. Give us tawfiq of doing good deeds, my Allah. Protect us from evil deeds, my Allah. Ya Allah, make that jazb, my Allah. Attract us, pull us towards you, my Allah. Make us realize our goal in life, my Allah. Make us realize that one day moth will strike and we have to leave this world. Make us realize that there will be qabr. Make us realize there is hashar, there is a day of qiyamah, when we will stand all alone before you, my Allah. And you are maliki yawmiddin. Ya Allah, on that day you will be so angry, my Allah. Never you had become angry before, then like how you will be angry on that day, my Allah. Ya Allah, we will be desperately in need of your mercy.
As we are so in need of your mercy now in dunya, my Allah, on the day of Qiyamah we'll be even more needing of your mercy, my Allah. Help us, guide us, ya Allah. Ya Allah, do not make us waste our time in futile activities, my Allah, and harboring malice and evil and having suspicion and destroying the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Guide us, my Allah. Make us become good people, my Allah. Give us a good akhlaq, my Allah. Help us to control our eyes, our ears, our tongues, our limbs, my Allah. Protect us from all haram. Protect us from zina. Protect us from riba. Protect us from haram things, my Allah. Ya Allah, the ummah is going to haram, my Allah. Ya Allah, people are committing zina, my Allah. Openly, my Allah. Homosexuality, ya Allah, is becoming a norm in our society, my Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, protect us. Ya Allah, drugs and substance abuse is becoming so rife and so common, my Allah. People are clubbing, my Allah, more and more. Ya Allah, people are womanizing more and more, my Allah. More and more illicit relationships are taking place, my Allah. Ya Allah, people are gambling more and more, my Allah. Hey, Malik Kareem, instead of us changing our lives, my Allah, we are going more and more deep into the abyss of sins, my Allah. Ya Allah, it is only your fadl, only your rahmat, my Allah. Ya Allah, only your mashiyat, my Allah, that you will lift us and protect us from all those haram. Make us be on haqq and hidayat, my Allah. Ya Allah, make our children, our progeny, our grandchildren be on haqq and hidayat. Protect them, my Allah. Protect them, my Allah. Ya Allah, guide us, give us true knowledge of deen, my Allah. Hey, Malik Kareem, grant all of us afiyat in our lives. Give us happiness in our lives. Give us salamati, my Allah. Remove our difficulties. Remove our problems, my Allah. Remove our worries, our sorrows, our griefs, our hardships, my Allah. Ya Allah, our brothers have raised their hands in the masjid now, my Allah. Ya Allah, our mothers and sisters and others at home, my Allah. There are so many people who have written, so many people have mentioned that they are feeling so low sometimes after the month of Ramadan. Ya Allah, people are caught in sin again, my Allah. Ya Allah, we beg you tonight, my Allah, remove them from their sins, my Allah. Grant all of us to make tawbah and nasuha, my Allah. Give us that himmah to refrain from sins, ya Allah. Give us a taqat and tandarusti and good health, ya Allah, to obey you properly, my Allah. Hey, Malik Kareem, ya Allah, protect us from the sharr of the shirreen, fitna of the fitteen, hasr of the hasireen, from the zulam of the zalimeen. Ya Allah, protect our Muslim brothers and sisters in Gaza, my Allah. Hey, Malik Kareem, ya Allah, we've got no words to express now, my Allah. Ya Allah, our grief and sadness, my Allah. But ya Allah, you have given us his hands, my Allah. Ya Allah, you have given us his tongue at least, my Allah. Ya Allah, we are begging you tonight again, my Allah. Ya Allah, we are begging you, my Allah. Ya Allah, do not reject our dua, my Allah. Accept our dua in their favor, my Allah. Show your kindness upon them, my Allah. Your mercies upon them, my Allah. Change the conditions for better, my Allah. Give them victory now, my Allah. Remove the enemies from their lands, my Allah. Instill fear and rob and fear and khawf in the hearts of the enemies, my Allah. Ya Allah, make your angels come down to assist the believers, my Allah. Ya Allah, provide for them from unseen sources, my Allah. Ya Allah, you help them, my Allah. They've got no homes anymore, my Allah. Everything is just bombarded, my Allah. They've got no food. Ya Allah, you provide for them, my Allah. And wherever the Muslim ummat is suffering, my Allah, jahan bhi pareshan hal ho, unki pareshani dur farma. Ya Allah, give us halal and tayyib rozi, my Allah. Give us plentiful that we can spend ourselves, on ourselves, our families, and the ummat of Rasulullah s.a.w. Make us become large-hearted and generous, my Allah. Don't make us become bakhil and kanjus, my Allah. Hey, Malik Kareem, ya Allah, there are so many people who are not well, my Allah. They are ill, they are sick, my Allah. In hospitals or at home, my Allah. So many have undergone operations, so many have got cancer, my Allah. Grant all of them shifai kamil, ajil mustaqir daim. And all the marhumin, ya Allah, give them jannatul firdaus, my Allah. Recently, so many people, my Allah, almost every day, we have heard of a janaza or attended a janaza. Ya Allah, grant each one, ya Allah, jannatul firdaus, and grant their family sabri jameel. Ya Allah, we beg you again, my Allah. Give us mawtut iman, my Allah. Mawt in Madina Sharif, Baril Jannatul Baqi, my Allah. Grant us the shafaat of Rasul Paak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How the kuthur water from Nabiya Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mubarak hands. Allah, make us enter Jannat without any hisab kitab. Protect all of us from azab of qabr, azab of jahannam. From every big and small fitna, especially the fitnas of Dajjal. Ya Allah, whatever hajat we have, O brothers, have tonight, my Allah, fulfill all our needs. Ya Qadhi al-Hajat, Ya Dafi al-Baliyat, Ya halal mushkilat. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab al-nar. Ya Allah, all those who requested duas, Ya Allah, answer all the jais murads. Hazirin ghaibin sabi dua qabool fama. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'u al-alim. Wa tub alayna ya maulana innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Subhan rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Salamun al-mursalin. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.